Good evening. I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the regular board meeting of the Canyon TO School Board of Trustees. It's May the 15th. It is 6:08 p.m. And Tony, would you be so kind as to call roll?
Mrs. Cousins?
Here.
Mr. Coronado?
Here.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Here.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Here.
Mrs. Quintana?
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez? Mrs. Searles?
Here. And Mr. Rodriguez called and said he would be late.
Mr. Rodriguez will not be here.
Oh, he will not be? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Excuse me. Thank you.
He's out of town.
Thank you. And with that, Dr. Murphy, would you be so kind as to lead us in the pledge to the flag tonight?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy. What a great crowd we've got tonight. We never get all these people. It's really nice to see y'all here. Ms. Mendoza, would you be so kind as to read our mission statement this evening?
I'd be happy to. Canthio ISD will provide a quality education to assure that all students graduate on time, are prepared for higher education, or are workforce ready.
And with that, Tony?
Board honors, Mr. Jimenez.
For President Searles, members of the board, Dr. Murphy, please join me down here by this desk to begin our program. An art form. Granted, I'm a little biased, but it's really an art form to hone one's writing skills and use them in a way that guarantees the public's rights to know. That's why tonight we celebrate three potential journalists from Canthio High School. As a team, the Eagles took the District 2-4 UIL Championship for the third year in a row. Based on their writings and editing skills. Three students stood out. Sophomore Jackie Ribota won first place in feature writing. Junior Evelyn Villarreal won first place in headline writing and second in editorial writing. And junior Brianna Hernandez won first place in editorial writing and second in headline writing. Members of the board, it's an honor for me to introduce to you the journalism, the 2-4-A champions in journalism from Canthio High School. Could Jackie, Evelyn, and Brianna please come up and greet the board along with their teacher, Mr. Tate.
Yeah.
So I'm going to ask, we'll take a couple and get the parents. Parents.
You want me to call up the parents?
Yes.
The parents of these students come up. CISD had another great year in UIL at the middle school level. And we are not just talking about athletics. Countview Middle School, for the second year in a row, won the County Conference UIL Championship in academics. Oh, and they won it all using students at three levels, 6th grade, 7th grade, and 8th grade. To do this, students from Countview Middle School competed in writing, math, technology, drama, chess, music, social studies, and other contests. In total, they won 12 individuals first places, 6 second places, and 6 third places, among other titles. The UIL sponsor is at CMS, Mr. Bobby Leyva. So Mr. Leyva, his coaches, and their students, please come up and greet the board and be right there.
The schools for UIL competition, like Clint, that are for Clint, Fabian, Stornio, Sanelli, Anthony, am I missing any? Clint. And every year, the trophy has pretty much gone to East Montana High School for 6-7 years in a row. And I have to tell you that for us to win this back-to-back is an awesome feeling, but you also need to know something else. We were first place, AMS was second place last year. This year, we were first place, AMS was second place. So we need to know that this is not just a congratulations to CMS, it's a congratulations to our sister school, because both middle schools were top dog at UIL.
Two. We don't even have 3 CMS track champions, we have 4. That's right. The Benfield Middle School track teams took first place in all four track categories at the El Paso County Athletic Conference meet earlier this year. This means that the girls and boys teams in the 7th grade, as well as the girls and boys teams in the 8th grade, earn an outright championship title, or at least a share of the title of the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what we call Benfield dominance. With the coaches, Manny Moreno, Angel Olivas, Sharon Norris, and Karen Daly, bring their teams to greet the board, please.
No.
scoot down a little more, girls. Okay, good job. Oh, parents, here we go. Facebook, everybody say Facebook.
No,
banquet
Monday.
Right up here, we get out. Okay, I got you.
It's been a great year.
Thank God.
Okay, Tony, after all of that talent, that brings us to open forum.
Can we have one individual signed up? Ms. Santiago, Cynthia Cardan. Good evening, Board President Searles and School Board. I'd like to first thank you all for always supporting us. And Ms. Pedersen is handing out just a little bit so that you know what I'm talking about. The topic I'm going to be talking about, you all are going to act upon later on under Consent Agenda Item G. But it's just to give you an idea of the steps that I've had to take, you know, to get an NCA summer camp to come out to kind of deal. NCA is the National Cheerleading Association. It is a big professional, it's a professional organization that comes, and if you can look on page 3, you'll see that it's a summer camp that is mandatory for all squads that will be competing throughout the year attend, because it is part of being safety, having a safety curriculum. That's the number one thing when it comes to cheerleading, having that safetiness and making sure that I myself as a coach is trained, and I myself need to pass an assessment so that I can be accredited and meet the requirements that it takes for me to take a competing team. I know that you all have so graciously supported us as we have become that competing team since I started as being coach. Every summer I take these girls, these squads out to out of town, because all of NCA camps are mostly out of town. Last year we were able to go to Lockwood High School where they hosted an NCA camp. Now NCA does not just choose any school. It actually has to come out, take a look at the venue, and make sure that it meets their safety requirements and meets their needs as well. So for us to get an NCA invitation to host a summer camp, it's a really big deal, okay? Just to know that they are willing to come out and train us. Now, it's open to the whole region. So we have actually have had people from actually a Mexico team that is ready to come and want to participate in this, aside from the local schools like Santa Teresa, Chaparral, all the schools, Las Cruces, Riverside, the schools that haven't been able to afford to go out of town, because when we go out of town, it's like about $350 per girl, okay? And that's to cover room and board, travel expenses, and also, of course, the curriculum and the teaching and food. So by bringing it to kind of deal, these girls, our parents, I myself included, we are saving a lot of money. Mm-hmm. The registration is at a discount. We are at $129 per participant. And then, of course, transportation is not an issue or anything like that as far. So it's a benefit for us that way, in that sense. Another way is that it unites us with the rest of the squads around our region. So then that builds, a sense of community and a sense of when we go to outside competitions, like we just came back from San Antonio from competing at SeaWorld. All of the El Paso teams support each other. And so when we're out there, we support them and they support us. So that builds that community. But most importantly is that I want to bring this camp here to Bellevue, because I Of course, my first number one goal has always been to make the sport of cheerleading, well-known here in Camarillo and to unite the community in that sense. So AMS has already committed also to attend this summer camp, and CMS right now I'm just waiting for them to get a squad on because they haven't done tryouts yet. But that's my number one goal. And I know that in the past you all have seen that we've run community youth summer camps where last year we had over 175 little girls just come out and learn what we learned at summer camp. So basically I'm just asking you to please, when you take upon an action on our request from NCA, would you please consider that it will be a complete benefit for all of us involved.
Thank you so much, and thank you for bringing your cheer squad.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen of the board, with that, I mean, we've got all these cheerleaders and their sponsor here. I think it would be appropriate to remove letter G from our consent agenda and move it up to the next item. Is that appropriate with all of you?
I'm in agreement.
Anybody have? Okay. Tony, could you please then adjust our agenda as such?
Mrs. Rouse, could we also pull up, because it's the same kind of thing, item F?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That'll be just fine. Is that fine with the rest of the board? Tony, that'll be item F and G.
Off of number 8.
Yes. Item 8F is request to waive fees for use of facilities at Canutillo High School from Southwest Key Programs for an event to be held June 11th through the 13th, 2012.
Do you have a would you like to tell us about it?
Yes, actually, we operate, and I'll just make it very brief. We operate a shelter for approximately 94 kids in the Camarillo area, and we work with kids that are coming primarily from Central America, Guatemala, Honduras, and Salvador. We do get our typical Brazilians every once in a while, Nicaraguans, but we service kids ages 5 to 17, and this is our third year wanting to do this Olympics event, and it's a three-day event that we normally have at Camarillo High School. And we have an individuals day, a team sports day, and then a relays day. And we fly all our flags, we play our national anthems, and we celebrate all the different types of cultures and the different kids that we actually, you know, care for, that we educate, and that we transition back to their home countries with their families or with their sponsors here in the U.S.
And do you fly the American flag?
Yes.
And do you sing the American song?
Yes, ma'am.
And they know the pledge?
Yes.
I'm glad to hear that. Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
Through the chair.
Yes, sir.
There's only one issue here, and I'm fully in support of this, and we want to do it. We are looking at a track resurfacing at the high school, and if the timelines are such that we can't host this at the high school, we will certainly offer them one of the middle schools. We just got to look at the timeline and see. Appreciate it. If you could call, and we could take a look at that if we get a little closer.
Absolutely. We appreciate that very much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
And Tony, with that.
Thank you.
We have one question.
I just have a question. The letter says June 11th through the 13th, but the request has 11th through the 15th. The facilities request form has 11th through the 15th. What are the actual...
Is it 3 days, sir? So 11, 12, and 13.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
We need to amend that, please, Tony.
Thank you.
And so do I have a motion on letter F?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. There's a motion made and seconded. And Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes. And that would take us to letter G.
Item 8G is a request to waive fees for use of facilities at Canutillo High School from CHS Cheer Coach to hold a region-wide NCAA camp June 20th through the 22nd, 2012.
Represent us well, girls. This is our home. Be good hostesses. I know that you will. Hold the banner high. I'd like to move to approve letter G, please.
And I'll second that.
Any discussion? Tony?
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mrs. Searle?
Yes. And Tony, that takes us, God, to the fun part, the budget update.
Item 4A, 2012-13 budget update, Mrs. Aguirre.
Out of state comp ed, and then we also allocate to different departments, some of which are for example, curriculum and instruction being one of the biggest ones. Our ALS department, special ed, they all get a portion of the state comp ed because those are populations that are considered at-risk students. Under the high school allotment, we, as the state has issued us a $480,000 allotment. This is basically for the middle school and our secondary campuses, middle school and high school. And so we do a per pupil allocation of $75 per student at the high school level and $20 per student at the middle school level. A lot of allotments that the state used to issue have gone away. We are hopeful that this remains. We don't know. Well, for this upcoming year, we will have it. However, as the new biennium comes, this may be something that goes away if it's not, if the budget's tight for the state. But at this point, it's for college readiness and career readiness, and so that's how we allocate these ones.
But it will be there for next year.
Next year's here, yes. On this proposed budget allocation, this slide is by proposed allocation by campus. Now, this one has a comparison between this current 2012 school year and then our upcoming 2013 school year. These numbers here also include salaries, and so that's why you'll see that the numbers are quite significant. You can't take your enrollment and multiply by 115 and get to that number. Now this slide is the proposed budget allocation by department. And under this, as I stated earlier, the state requires that we spend a specific amount or percentage in the programs that they indicate. For example, the special ed department, they require that we spend a 52% of their allotment that they allocate for special education. Currently, 52% is $1.3 million. However, our actual costs for the special ed department are $2 million. So we far exceed the requirement there. Under CT&E, which is a career technology education, we are required to spend 58%, which is the equivalent of $1.9 million. As we have more students enrolled and participating in the courses that CT&E offers, our funding actually, increases. Under the GT program, we are required, which is gifted and talented, we are required to spend $55,000, which is the equivalent of about $97,000. Now, these allocations include salaries of personnel that are funded through these programs. Bilingual program, we are required to spend the 52%, and their allocation is at $386,000. Like I said, we do have to monitor these because if, say, our ADA were to have, reduced drastically, well, our funding will also reduce. Or if our ADA is to increase, then these programs will also have to increase in budgets. So it's a monitoring process throughout the year to ensure that we meet the required expenditure by the time the audit comes around. This next slide, although your printout does not have class objects 61 and 62, it does have it on the slide. Just a quick review, 6100s are the object code we use to allocate all salaries, extra duty, overtime, just regular salary compensation issues. Under 6200s, we have contracted services, and that ranges from professional development to contracted services for employer personnel that maybe perhaps we have vacancies in, to actual architect costs and things of that sort. What I would like to share with you here is last presentation in April, I didn't share with you what our expected debt service payment would be, and I did include it in this slide, and that's where it says INS budget totals. We're looking at $6.3 million dollars in payments for our debt service, which is our bond fund that we've got. As you recall, we do have a taxpayer relief for this current year, and so basically it's the payment will be from collections that we do have for the regular without the increase, plus the bond, the 2006 bond funds we allocated, $3 million that we allocated initially when we proposed the bond. And then, of course, aid from TEA in form of our EDA. Under this slide, it's a proposed budget by function. And so you have a listing of functions, you know, from 11 being instructional to, you know, 33 being health services, and they just have the different functions that we have to allocate for PEAMS purposes through TEA as a requirement. The very last one I also included was debt service, and again, it's the payment that we do for our INS. And we're still working on reviewing the budgets and the way they were set up. And so for the final presentation, I will go item by item and provide information as to what impacted the increase or the decrease in certain areas. Under preliminary property valuations, we did receive an update as of April 30th. And so I just wanted to share a couple more information that is not within this slide. I just wanted to share our total assessed value preliminary is $2.3 billion. Now, we have exemptions, and that equals the $714,000 in deductions or exemptions there, leaving us with a net taxable of $1.6. Now, we consider the freeze taxable, which is our over 65, our disabled veterans. And so once you reduce that by $81 million, we end up with our preliminary property valuations that we have before you. Now we take that dollar amount, as I shared before, we divide by $100 per value, multiply by our current tax rate of $1.17, and then we multiply by 98% collection rate, which is, we have a very good collection rate here at Gunnedee. And so that's where we end up with this $1.5 billion in property valuations, $18 million in revenue to the district. I apologize. I just wanted to share for informational purposes, we do have a listing of our 10 largest taxpayers. They haven't really changed from the last couple of years, of course, the Outland Mall being one of the biggest and the top taxpayer. We have a collections of $229 million in property valuations, which is 15% of our taxable value is collected from these top 10 taxpayers. El Paso Outlet, Hoover, Porter-Stale Properties, Flex Hard, Joint Ventures, Prologis, Levington, and so you drive around the community, you say, oh yeah, that's gotta be one of them. You know, these are the largest ones we've got. El Paso Electric, ADP, those are a couple of other top 10 taxpayers. On this slide, I had a request to research to see how much new property we had within our community. And so as far as commercial property, which is apartments and equipment, we consider as commercial, we have $9 million in new property there. And we also have approximately 443 homes that were added to our property appraisals. Of course, this is not final, but we're there, almost there. Under our proposed property tax rate, as I mentioned earlier, our maintenance and operation is at $1.17 per $100 of each home value. And our interest in sinking, or our debt service, which is how we pay our bond payments, is at 0.25. Our financial advisors are still tweaking the numbers to come back with that extra, you know, 4 decimal points, and usually hasn't changed in the last couple of years, but they give us that certified interest rate, interest in sinking tax rate that we will be collecting on. That puts us at a tax rate of $1.42 per $100 of our home's value. As outstanding debt, I just wanted to share with you, we have funds related to the 2006 bonds, which was a total of $38 million, and then our 2011 bond of $43.9 million. Of those $43.9, we've only issued $22 million, and so we have unissued bonds of $21.9 million pending our issuance. Under our projected revenue estimates, we are projecting, I'll start by stating that when we refer to local services, we're talking about our property taxes, current and prior year penalties and interest, earnings from investments, which is not very much right now, but that's considered local. Any rent for our payments we receive for use of our facilities, tuition payments, and other miscellaneous revenues such as athletics and things of that sort. Under state revenue, we consider the foundation payments that's based on our ADA, our students, and our programs that are enrolled in, and the SHARS revenue, which is the school health and related services. Under federal, our food service program is the biggest contributor to our federal funding, and then we've also got E-rate. And of course, that's related to our technology infrastructure and our projects that we fund and implement every year. So our total revenue for this upcoming 2013 fiscal year is $50.6 million, which is an increase of 2.6 from last year's revenue. This is considering refined ADA of 5,672. And I just want to mention that what I did is I took the first five, 6 weeks that we've already completed, did an average, and that's how I come up with the 5,672. If you notice, my comment says base with 2% increase. Well, 2% increase would actually be 5,744. But if the state is going to look at our overall ADA, and right now I looked at the average of the 5, 6 weeks to be a little closer to our actual projected revenue. It's always better to get good news and say our ADA is higher and you're going to get more money and play it safe on our revenue at this point. Under the budget priorities, if you'll notice, and we've discussed that there's four items that have already have checks, and those are the budget priorities that were compiled from various groups that either took a survey or had discussions over them, which was, of course, our DAC, our leadership and cabinet. The one item that has not been approved and perhaps may be approved today, this evening, is our competitive compensation package. It's a high priority, however, it hasn't been incorporated into our budget at this point. And then another item that was brought forth was the laptops for Northwestern College High School. And that's about the equivalent of $130,000. In prior years, students would receive a laptop as they began their freshman year at Northwest. However, last year's class, which is approximately 63 students, and then our current upcoming years, 12, 13 students, which right now are at 80, but is hopeful that she'll have that 100 student enrollment. Those are the students that are lacking a laptop, and so the request has been submitted. Some of the comments made were, you know, their assignments are critical that these students have laptops for many reasons, from, you know, the availability to complete their homework and submit electronic file type assignments either to UTIP, EPCC, and then within the campus or the Northwest, as well as the research and just the availability of the software that perhaps at home some of our students may not have. And so I also noted that the interaction between students with laptops and the smart boards and the technology that is in the classes at the campus would, you know, be greatly facilitated with the laptop issue to each student. So she's asking for consideration, and I will wait for your direction as to whether or not we allocate something for this within the budget. On this slide, we have our projected revenue less expenditures. As I stated earlier, our estimated revenues are at $50.6 million. Our estimated expenditures right now are at $48.4 million. Now, this includes, doesn't include salaries, as I mentioned earlier, but it does include the items that are checked off as budget priorities within our district. That leaves us with revenue less expenditures at $2.1 million. Which it increased slightly from last month's presentation. Within the expenditures, of course, we do have day-to-day costs for utilities and things of that sort. And then, of course, also the increase in per capita at the council. On this slide, I'm just sharing with you our budget adoption timeline. I do have two options in the event that we can our 2019 timeline. We will publish, because we are required to publish an open meeting hearing of our budget before it's adopted. We will publish that on the quarter on June 7th with a board meeting presentation, hopefully adoption of the budget and tax rate on June 19th. Or I will publish again on June 14th, just to stay within our guidelines and requirements, for a June 26th budget approval. Because the budget does have to be approved by June 30th, this will be our absolute last date to move forward with the budget and tax rate.
Through the chair.
Yes, sir.
Martha, can you go back 3 slides? Back, please. There you go. Okay, this number right here, this 2.19, that is after even those extra purchases. If you go back another slide. So this is all paid for, and we still have that 2.19. Okay, go forward, please. How many extra teachers do we have ready to go?
12.
12, and that also is not, that still leaves that amount?
Yes.
Okay. So, board, that leaves that amount for our next topic, which is compensation package possibilities.
And direction on that last budget.
Yes.
Any questions?
No, Martha, that was an excellent presentation. Dr. Murphy, that's the first I'm hearing of laptops. I don't think it's appropriate to deal with that tonight.
No, ma'am, we're not approving anything tonight. That request did come in, though, over the last couple of weeks, so we're just getting it out there for you, and we can dialogue more about it as we go forward.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Questions?
Turn on my mic. Martha, what was the amount that was allocated under the budget already for the fine arts, the additional focus for the grades PK through 8?
120.
And the technology upgrades?
The technology, when you can miss.
As she's getting that out, Mr. Coronado, the request from the School of Music is at $170,000 currently, and Martha has been able to dedicate $120,000, which is, of course, over and above what we normally dedicate. We normally only dedicate $90,000. So we've met a lot of his extra demand, but the board needs to decide if the desire is to meet him all the way to $170,000. That will be y'all's decision.
Under technology, we have an allocation of $250,000 out of local. We also have allocations out of Title I for additional technology.
And the training to go with the technology?
Yes, and that comes out of Title I.
Very good, thank you.
Title II, which is a 255, is a Title II part.
Are there any other questions for Ms. Aguirre? Yes.
Can you repeat the amount for the laptops for daily functions, please?
To cover for both classes, it would be $130,000.
Thank you.
Ms. Aguirre, in this budget, have we talked about at all, like hiring extra custodians, any of that kind of stuff? Has it come?
There have been. This budget does include allocations for additional personnel that have been brought forward. I know they've hired, and I don't have the list in front of me. They did hire bus drivers, additional bus drivers.
I say custodians because I know it's been a concern for quite some time. They're really understaffed at the campuses, and there's not enough people to get the work done.
I would say I don't believe we have extra custodians allocated at this point, but we do have additional, additional teachers through the needs assessment at the campus levels. We did allocate for additional teachers. I believe it's 3 at the high school and then additional 1 each at each middle school. I don't have the list in front of me, and I don't want to speak out of line, but I do know that there are additional positions, however, custodial, I don't believe.
Currently, we don't have the additional positions, and when we have vacancies, they're filled through a temporary service. However, for the new school year, We have approved for a pool of custodians, which will be assigned as support services, and they will be deployed as needed at the campuses to cover absences. And so we're going to start the pool low, but as the need, as we see the need arise, we may have to increase the pool.
It needs to be increased already. I mean, they're short-handed. Like, it's not, the classrooms are not being cleaned the way they should be. It really needs to be addressed. I don't know if you all need to meet with the facilities person once they come on board, but it really does need to be addressed. It's been a concern for quite some time from teachers, students, parents. They're just not staffed enough. It's too much for them to cover. So I would really like that looked at. I don't know how the rest of
I would just like to mention that the staffing was based, if you remember, a couple years ago when the TASB recommendation came, the numbers that were allocated were based on that study. However, we can certainly look into what...
Could we please see what that would look like with, I mean, the addition of two more positions there, and you know, maybe some different scenarios, and possibly groundskeepers to see what could you bring that back to us possibly at a soon date?
Okay,
we can Friday packet. Have that conversation at personnel and include the personnel that's necessary to come to the table and bring those recommendations forward.
Mr. Cornell,
how much money are we allotting for the tests cover? The pool.
The currently the temporary agency that's being used.
Yeah.
I believe it's been 60,000, and so we're evaluating. We're doing a cost benefit analysis with what we've spent with the pool, with the temporary service, and given that is the reason why we're looking at hiring in-house people and creating our own pool. Versus going out to the temporary agency. And here again, this is what we were proposing. Mr. Sanchez came before the personnel committee, and this is what is being proposed starting July 1st. So, of course, we will start advertising for that pool so that we could get that filled, and then hopefully July 1st get these people on board.
And through the food service department, we did begin that pool. She too had reductions when we had the TASB study come around. However, she had additional room for flexibility. So what she did was, as vacancies became available, instead of assigning one person to a specific campus, we did what we call those rotating.
Called them itinerant.
Helpers. And so basically, as a campus calls and says, I'm short a cook or I'm short a helper, that individual is sent. So that individual is basically traveling throughout the district on different days based on the need with the food service. And it has worked well.
And basically, as soon as there is an opening, a permanent position, then that person can certainly apply. And then, of course, we're always filling the itinerant, the pool, and which does good, because at this point in time, for example, in the case of Ms. Bayless, she already knows she's worked with these itinerant folks and can necessarily, you know, encourage them to apply for some of the permanent positions at a campus.
I think, though, what I'm hearing is we'd like to hear some permanent positions.
Right. And the itinerants are permanent. It's just not at one facility. They are permanent employees, but I know what you're saying.
Yeah, we understand. They're just a rover, mm-hmm. so to speak, to fill in where there's a need. And I think what the board is possibly asking is, we see that there's a bigger need than just the rover.
Okay.
If we could look at some permanent positions as well, please. Yes, sir.
Martha, 60,000 is probably how many FTE custodians?
30.
Three? Mm-hmm. So if we're using those mainly, that pool mainly for absences.
And workers' comp, yeah. Absences related to that, or vacancies.
Why don't we look at getting maybe 4 or 5 of those people? And if we're able to, and I still think we ought to keep the pool, the permanent pool, mm-hmm. because we do have a need to,
yeah.
for those absences. We can't just let go or people that get hurt and aren't not working.
And And I recently attended a Part 19 meeting, and this is all the area school district HR personnel, and they did say that each one of the school districts has a custodial pool, and they deploy these folks where they're needed. And I think they had, you know, for example, Clinton ISD had 10 in their custodial pool. And so, you know, that was something that we discussed in personnel, saying, okay, well, maybe we need to create that pool here and then start incrementing the number as we see the need.
Madam Chair, I think we'd suggest maybe looking at 5 positions for that pool instead of 3.
Not for the 5 pool positions and how many real positions?
No, because then wherever we have the need, this way we can at least spread them out.
I see what you're saying. Yes, I understand.
We can afford to put 10 at each, you know, 1 at each more campus. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's feasible.
Okay, then could we, at our next budget update, could you, or actually Friday packet would be best if we could see what that'll look like and how it could work as to having 5 in the pool instead of 3 in the pool.
And then on top of that, we can get with Joe, Mr. Sanchez, and talk about general needs to get to what Mom was talking about in the next personnel meeting and come back with some proposals when
Margaret comes. Priority areas or?
We're still a month away from fully approving this, so we're okay and we can keep looking at this and bring it back.
I would also like to see field trips somewhere. I saw that our instruction curriculum budget went up. Mm-hmm. But I would like if you could please delineate where our kids need to get out and get about, and they not just to the movies.
And that would have to be out of the local budget because the grants and the different programs are very...
But if you could just... I'd like to see an increase in that. Our kids need to get out and see the world a little better than I think we've been doing for them.
You could create a request there and give each campus X amount of dollars and bring that back.
Yes,
ma'am. I have a question. Ms. Akita, how long have we been using a temporary service for substitute custodians? Was it last year the first year or this last year?
This is our 3rd year. We started 2 years ago. It was maybe mid-year, 2 years ago.
Any other questions? Mr. Coronado?
No.
Ms. Gonzalez?
Just, I agree with both requests, the 5 for the pool and maybe looking to hiring more staff throughout the district. Because you mentioned the TASB study. I mean, some of the decisions were eliminated, but also TASB had recommended that other positions that were eliminated, and we didn't. So that's my comment.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I have a comment to that, too, and if I ever remember correctly, during that time, the TASB study just dealt with square footage, not with the usage of the building or how many people were in the building. Or it varies from campus to campus. There's some campuses that are open 24/7, basically. And the need is greater there. So, and I remember that we knew we had to do what we had to do at that time. But at the same token, we knew our buildings were going to suffer for it. And it's happened. Mm-hmm. Yes. Real fears, bottom line. And we do need...
That sounds like a big priority. So if we could, by Friday, Dr. Murphy, have some...
Personnel will meet tomorrow.
An update on
and
that.
And we'll discuss it and then see what we can come up with.
Okay, great. Sure. Thank you very much. Any other questions, comments? Yes, sir.
I wanted to see if we had allocated any funds for the curriculum we had talked about for the campus character.
Oh, yes.
Issues for the campuses.
We have raised those curriculum budgets this year, and we are talking about various curriculum products.
Are you referring to like the PBSI, the positive behavior?
No, it was a character education program. Now, we might have that already and we might not need to do more, but Ms. Fierro is looking into that with Ms. Armin, with Sister Margarita and a couple others.
Okay.
Specifically to address character, etiquette, good manners, all the things we want our kids to have. That's all. Everybody's good? Thank you very much, Ms. Aguirre, and thank you for the added information we'll receive.
Thank you, Martha.
That takes us to Tony.
Item 4B, presentation, discussion, and possible action regarding 2012-13 compensation and stipends package, Ms. Carrasco.
We've been waiting for this for a long time, Ms. Carrasco. Thank you.
Welcome back, TASBY.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So glad to be back.
Good evening, Board President, Board members, and Dr. Murphy. We're here tonight. If you recall the presentation on April 17th, where we came before the board and presented several compensation options, and also say we're seeking guidance and direction from the board. And you did provide that to us. We were told to prepare the compensation package at a 3.5%. This is what we've done here, and we're ready to present, to come forward and present to you that information this evening for your consideration.
Thank you very much.
And let me turn it over again. I'd like to introduce Ann Patton and Luz Cadena. They're here from TASBY, and they are compensation analysts. We have obtained a contract with TASBY to assist us in evaluating our compensation plan with the hopes of being more competitive within the Region 19 district.
Very good. Thank you. Good evening, ladies. Thank you.
Good evening. We are so glad to be back here. Just going to start. Hopefully it's not going to step out of your seat letter. That would be bad. Okay. I want to briefly just review very briefly the pay system objectives, and then Liz is going to talk about the specifics of the pay plan since we were here last. The pay system objectives are important to, so because I want to emphasize the systematic view of pay distribution and how the pay plan is developed. The first is that we want to make sure that we pay for the value of the job, which means looking at the market of what other employers and other school districts pay for the same jobs that are done here in UBTOISD. We also want to make sure that they are paid based on the skill, effort, responsibility of the job, not necessarily every single person's credential, but the jobs are classified based on the skill, effort, and responsibility of the job. We want to make sure that you're able to recruit and hire skilled employees by setting market competitive pay structures, making sure that your entry rates are competitive. We also want to make sure that you retain good employees, and that is primarily done by providing competitive pay increases. We are hearing all over the state that pay is going up. They're going up here in the El Paso area, but certainly not the only area of the state. We're hearing 3.5% increases throughout the state. So pay last year was flat, hardly anyone gave increases. This year it is moving down. So
you pull that up closer to you.
I'm sorry. And also we want to make sure that we create a system that allows you the control to manage the costs. So you as the board will, based on available revenue, you as the board will decide how much of the pay increase that you were able to give, and the system distributes the pay increases. So we've come tonight with a 3.5% general pay increase, and then we are recommending to leave some compressions, some additional equity adjustments based on how long people have been in those jobs. So we're gonna, Liz is gonna talk a little bit about that in just a minute.
So we're gonna move over to the Sister Market Group, and again, we've already reviewed these. These are the same districts that haven't changed. We looked at the ESE 19 districts, 7 districts in this group, and then again at the district request, we did look at the non-ESE 19 school districts. In addition to that, we also pulled in other sources, which are private salary surveys that we TASB purchases. So we're going to go ahead and move on to the next slide as well. Again, this is information that you've already seen. Overall, teacher pay is below market average at each of the 5-year increments. And hopefully we'll be able to address some of that as we propose the recommendation for the 12-13 pay increases.
And Ann, can you go back?
Yes.
Ann, can you explain the red line?
Yes, the red line is where your starting salary fits into the whole, to the comparative district. So this is sorted from high starting salary to lowest starting salary. The 25th and the median and the 75th percentile are noted in there. And so you can see the red line is where KNTO's hiring starting salary is. So if you're below the 25th percentile when compared here,
so we're going to move on to the stipend and incentive comparison. And so I just need to update the district on the math and science stipends. As we had presented them previously, these stipends are really not stipends, but they're paid as a sign-on bonus. So the district currently does not offer a math and science stipend for secondary teachers for the final subject areas. We are recommending that the district implement stipends in this series, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But that is the update on this. Teacher experience levels, again, primarily what this is showing you is that 50% of your teachers have 9 or less years of experience. Most notable is your teachers that have 25 plus years of experience. And we're looking at 14% there. That's about 56 teachers who will be retiring or are considering retirement in the next few years. So you want to make sure that your teacher pay is competitive.
And just as a note, the state average is around 11 years.
This is the proposed 12-13 teacher pay schedule. This is a 3.5% general pay increase. You'll note that the recommended starting salary is $45,000. We are looking at a $1,775 general pay increase for all teachers in the district. In addition to that, the teacher schedule was adjusted at years 1 through 14 to alleviate some of that compression as we increase that starting salary. And so there are 236 teachers that will be receiving additional adjustments as a result of the adjustments at years 1 through 14. So the way to read this is your current zero-year teacher is making $42,175 currently with a 3.5% general pay increase. They will move to $1,775. Then there is that additional adjustment of $1,200. So as they move to year one, they will move to $45,150. A brand new teacher from the outside coming in with 1 year of experience will be placed at $45,150 as well.
And we add those additional equity adjustments in just to ensure that your new teachers coming in do not make more than your current teachers. So, and we've got that there's just a little bit of difference between a year one and a year two and a year two teacher. So we had to, when we jumped that starting salary up quite a bit, we had to build in additional equity in order to make sure that there's a little bit of ease on that compression between the years of experience. And also, this is just we for illustration purposes on this slide. We only put the first 10 years on here. These do go on up to 14.
And you do have this information in your report, the teacher's schedule. What we have here is information at the previous board meeting. At the request of the board, we did take a look at how the impact of the general pay increase and the equity adjustment in comparison to the market, the current market. And so what you're seeing here is the summary of the different job families, the overall market comparison of the market, district pay compared to the market, and then the very last column, what you have here is the proposed pay increase compared to the market. Now you can see that there is an improvement in pay from 4% to 7% relative to the market as far as the improvement as a result of the 3.5% and general pay increase and the Model A, which is 15 years to midpoint. Now what you have to keep in mind here is that although this reflects a marked improvement in market comparison, the market does not remain constant. The market is a moving target. And so the comparison that we are reflecting here is the comparison of the proposed pay to the current market values. And that market is going to change as the districts in the area start approving and providing the general pay increases to their employees. So again, this is a snapshot in time of how you will compare if, based on the 3.5% and the 15 years to midpoint, to the 11-12 market price. This will change after the pay increases as districts move forward. But it is a beginning and it's an improvement towards the good, a good direction for improvement for the district.
So even if you were to add just roughly 3% to these market values, say the market moved 3% and all these folks gave a 3% increase and everything stayed the same, which is kind of a stretch. Mm-hmm. But even if they did, even if these numbers increased 3%, you would still make, you know, you'd still be slightly above or at least matching what the other state is.
And the employee group that is seeing the most notable market improvement is your auxiliary group at 7% overall market improvement. So we're going to begin with the recommendations, and we've talked briefly about the teacher pay recommendation. So, and
I didn't know PowerPoint did that.
So we are recommending, based on the 3.5% general pay increase, a starting teacher salary of $45,000. All teachers will receive the $1,775. That really equates to about 3.52% general pay increase, just slightly above 3.5, just for clarification there. As I mentioned previously, 236 teachers will be receiving the additional adjustments, and those will be the additional adjustments at years 1 through 14. We are recommending that the district limit the new to district teacher hiring schedule to 25 years. As we reviewed the hiring pattern of the district, which is very typical to many other districts, the hiring is about 67% of your newly hired teachers have 0 to 3 years of experience, and 87% of them have less than 10 years of experience. So the district doesn't need to have a hiring schedule that extends to 30 when basically you're hiring teachers, 87% of your teachers that you're hiring have less than 10 years of experience. Now, this does not mean that your current teachers that have more than 25 years will not receive the general pay increase, because your teacher schedule, we have a pay range for your teacher pay, and so they're not going to be matched at that step 25, okay?
So all the teachers got a general pay increase. This is just for new teachers coming in.
We are also recommending that the district add a $1,000 secondary math and science stipend We're looking at about $56,000 cost impact for adding this stipend. The district is the only district in the area market that does not offer a math and science stipend. Okay, different from the sign-on bonus, which is a one-time only stipend.
Right, a sign-on bonus is a recruiting tool, it's not a retention tool. And so it goes away, and many districts did that because if they were having budget issues, that was a way to attract math and science teachers, but then of course it would go away. But it's not a retention issue. So we want to make sure that your teachers are as competitive with the area as possible.
And we are also recommending that the district discontinue those sign-on bonuses, stipends, amounts. You also pay a sign-on bonus for ESL, librarian, and registered nurse, and those are not needed. And so we are recommending that they be discontinued. And again, the 3.5% general pay increase that we've already talked about for all employee groups, including the administrative professional and your administrative support, instructional support, and your auxiliary. We have modeled two cost estimates. They are in your report, and we'll be taking a look at the total cost. Model A and Model B, these are the models for the equity adjustments. We talked previously about the proposed pay comparison to market that that we have up earlier, and that was based on the 15 years to midpoint equity adjustments. But we did model one that was 18 years to midpoint. The difference between the two models is very little. It's about over $68,000 that we're talking about. Okay. We also have redesigned job classifications and pay structures. Those are also in your report. Again, we have the administrative professional pay structure that has the 9 pay levels. Your information technology has 6 pay levels. We've split your clerical paraprofessional pay structure into 2 separate job families, the instructional support with 5 pay levels, and then your administrative support with 8 pay levels, and then you have your auxiliary group at 9 pay levels. The pay structures for these job groups were realigned to market, they were adjusted. We are also recommending that you roll job-specific stipends into the employee's contract or base pay. This would be the network manager stipend, which is a $2,000 stipend that the district has. We're recommending that you roll it into pay and discontinue the practice of having that stipend paid. We are also recommending that you roll the band director stipend and the athletic director stipends being paid, as we're moving these two positions onto the administrative professional pay structure and a pay range that will provide the district a little bit more competitive pay, and so we are asking that those stipends be rolled into their base pay. Now, we also have 6 employees, so we did not model the cost estimate to provide a general pay increase for those 6 employees that are above the pay range maximum. Of course, that is the board's option to provide a pay increase if the board chooses to. We just recommend that the board make a consistent application of if the board approves or decides to provide the pay increase, that it be consistently applied to all 6 employees. And then overall, these are just general recommendations that we provide, and basically, again, we talk about not providing pay increases to those employees that are paid above the pay rate maximum. These employees are already receiving premium pay based on what the market price for the job is. We recommend that you just continue to adjust the salary ranges so that you can maintain that competitive pay. As Ann mentioned previously at the beginning of the presentation, part of being able to recruit employees is to have competitive salaries, And then we also recommend that those pay increase continue to be a percentage of the midpoint, which the district has been doing. And then we will be working with Martha as the next stages of the pay study here. We'll be finalizing the pay procedures. We will be updating those, and then we will also be working on the coaching and the performing arts and academic studies. So with that said, that is what we have as far as the recommendations. The next page we have here, and this is very small print. You have this on page 13. Even my reading glasses won't help with that font. But beginning on page 13, you will note that the this is Model A, the cost estimate for this, and this is the equity adjustments of 15 years to midpoint. And you can see that we are looking at a cost of almost $1.8 million to provide the 3.5% general pay increase and the equity adjustments to 15 years to midpoint. The stipend, the cost to implement the math, secondary math and science stipend is not included in this, and so we are looking at an additional $56,000, which would take this to 1.836,460 total. So it's $1,836,460 total to implement the $1,000 stipend for secondary math and science. That estimated cost is $56,000 total, based on the current count of secondary math and science teachers. Okay. Then the Model B, which is the 18 years to midpoint, this cost is $1,711,935. And then the $56,000 for that secondary math and science stipend added to this would take this cost to $1,768,000 total. Again, the difference between the two models is just $68,200.
When we talk about spreading pay to 15 years to midpoint, have we discussed that? Do you understand what we're talking about when we did that?
Go ahead and tell us.
Okay, let me just tell you, because what we did was Martha and her staff provided us the total number of years of experience that, and then we looked through the folders, total number of experience that folks had in their job. So we took that experience, and we actually took from the minimum to the middle of the range, and we broke it up incrementally, and just evenly spread out different increments from zero, no experience, 0 years to 15 years. And we'd say, okay, if you've got 15 years, then you should be making the middle of the range. So the way the calculations worked was we put everybody in their pay grade, we awarded the general pay increase of 3.5%, and then we had a calculation to say if that was not enough to get them to the appropriate increment, for example, if I had 4 years of experience and that wasn't enough to get me to increment 4, then we awarded an additional, what we call an equity adjustment to get their pay to increment 4. Mm-hmm. So it kind of evens out everybody with 4 years of experience in their job would be at increment 4. Except if you were already making above that, then you wouldn't get the additional equity adjustment. We didn't take any money away from anyone. Mm-hmm. So everybody got the 3.5% general pay increase, but anyone who wasn't where we think they should be got at least moved up to the correct increment. If your pay was already above that, then you just got the general pay.
So that equity was at the base of all of it?
Yes. Yeah. So okay. The equity, what it did was move all those folks that were too low to where, you know, to an appropriate spot within the pay range. if you're already above the like I said, if I had 4 years, I got moved up to the 4 increment. But if my pay was already above that, then I just got the general.
Okay. And is that in relation to the 15 or the 18
yes,
year decision?
Yes. So that's why the 18 would be, the 18 cost a little bit less because you've got more increments in there.
Okay, so the 15 actually would be more advantageous to the employees.
Correct. It moves them faster towards that point.
Okay.
You know, it would be nice if we could do 10 years. It just costs more money.
Okay. But 15 is best case scenario for the employees.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Correct.
Chair.
Yes, sir.
President, administration does have a recommendation regarding a motion or a possible approval, and that would be the general 3.5% increase with the option A, 15-year equity option, with the math and science stipends included, and with the pay group of those that are above the maximum, that we would do nothing at that. Now, if the board wants to do something for those six individuals, they can. But those would be the basic recommendations that we're coming from.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy.
Thank you.
And is that the end? Can we have questions now? Okay, board, have you got any questions? Yes, sir, Mr. Coronado.
What is the amount of difference for the 18-year equity investment?
It's because this pay is spread out over more increments, so it makes it hard. You have to work longer to get to the midpoint.
Yeah,
so
what's the price difference?
Oh, 50 is 68,535, I believe, something like that. It's not a whole lot.
Okay.
It's
under 60,000 is what you're thinking.
It was 68,000.
Okay.
And as I wrote in my memo, if the board desires option B, that's fine too.
$68,525. And I did include in the Friday packet to the board the options on those six employees, what options that you could consider. You know, either accept TASB's recommendation and do nothing at all with these employees, or you can approve that full pay increase, you could approve half of the general pay increase, or you may provide a one-time payment at the amount that you designate. And so those are some of the options that were sent to you in your Friday packet to consider and think about. And of course, TASB's recommendation, given that we have a set pay range at a maximum and that they're already receiving premium payment, is that we not do anything with those folks.
And had a check.
Yes, sir.
And the actual effective increases is 3.52, not 3.5, right?
Right. For all employees except for your teacher.
Except for the teacher.
3.5 is for everybody. 3.52 is to make it a nice round number, quite frankly, instead of $1,773.35, we just made it to $1,775.
That's only for the teacher.
That's just only for your teacher.
Everybody else's pay increase was calculated at 3.5% of the midpoint.
Okay. Are there any questions? Ms. Gonzalez, you look like you have a question.
I do. But I have some questions that I would like to address in this executive.
And are they legal questions
yes.
for Mr. Blanco? Okay. Would the board like to adjourn into executive session and to discuss this?
I promise you we're really clear about something. If we're going into executive session on the side, it has to be for issues regarding legal advice. And it can't be a general discussion regarding the compensation package.
Is that understood with everyone? Thank you, Mr. Blanco. And it is now 7:43. And the board will adjourn into executive session with Mr. Blanco for some legal questions. Tony, could you direct us which part of the code we're going in under?
551071.
Thank you very much, Mr. Blanco. It's currently 8:01, and the board is returning back into open session. And with that, Dr. Murphy, the board would like to have more detail. We'd like to have a future meeting posted for more detail. And this has nothing to do with the overall pay raise. This has to do with some of the equity issues. And we'd like to, you know, have more information forthcoming. So everybody's, don't worry. This isn't about the 3.5%. Yes, sir, Mr. Coronado.
Madam Chair,
that's right. I think some of the issues that would be more appropriate if we post an agenda item that's more appropriate to the issues that the board wants to discuss in reference to some of the issues, so that we can have compliance. And I think that generally, my opinion with respect to the 3.5 raise, I think it's probably very appropriate. I think it's in line. I think it's the issues that we have with respect to the pay scales and some of the equity adjustments that I think we need to review. And I think the board needs more detail. And I think in terms of the detail is we need a complete breakdown of those adjustments rather than and so on.
Thank you, Mr. Cornell.
We'll post it in the future meeting, but I think we need to do it sometime soon.
Thank you. I'll get with the administration, and that will be forthcoming.
I think the overall proposal and the work that TASB's done is great. I think it's going to take us a few years to fine-tune it, and we'd like to have, obviously, I'm all in favor of having TASB come back again next year and see where we're at in terms of the market again, to have some input from them in respect to how we're doing on that. I think they've done a good job, and we're not going to be able to remedy all problems this one year, but I think it's a very good start into having a comprehensive approach to our market issues and our equity issues within the district itself. So I think it's a good thing. I think the board does want to look at some of the specifics of the details within that. So I think we need to post that one thing.
I would like to say that we could do this as quickly as possible. We are going to have some implementation mountains to climb because we do have to get with Teams and Prologic to implement the new pay scales, to download the employees, to work through
the
program. So IT is going to have quite a big task. HR is going to have a task to verify all of this before it goes out. And so please remember this takes an effect July 1st. First payroll being July 15th, so we really have about 40 days here to get this going. So I would like to have that meeting as quickly as possible.
Pants on fire. We've got it. Understood. Thank you, Mrs. Carrasco. We will. It's an absolute priority.
The other question, and so approximately the entire amount under option with the 3.52 for the teachers, the 3.5 general for all other employees,
and
the math and science. The math and science was already included in the 1.836460, right? Is that my understanding?
Yes. When I gave you the 1.836460 total. That is Model A with a cost of $1,780,460 and $56,000, which is the cost for the math and science stipend.
Right, so then Model B would be about $68,000 less than the 1.836.
That's correct. Model B is with the $56,000 math and science stipend. It's
$1,767,935. And that's something that I think, Madam Chair, that the board really needs to take a hard look at in terms of the issues that we have with wanting to increase our custodial staff.
Yes, sir.
And also with the increase in that we may, either in food service or some of the other positions. One of the things that we haven't discussed yet either is, you know, our internal auditor has absolutely no clerical help.
Precisely.
And I think we still need to take a look at some other positions where we need some help. And I want to also reserve for probably another, besides the 12 PEZ that we have, I'd like to reserve some funds in their contingency funds for additional teachers and maybe even some bus drivers that we never know. That, you know, our bus routes may end up having an increase. I don't know what situation is coming up here in the next year, but and we had to do it last year.
Just being prudent.
I just want to
looking
be
ahead. Yes, I understand. With,
you know, and we have, if you do the, we only have about 350,000. That's probably about the one amount we had last year. And we ended up really being short. And there's some other, you know, I think we need to take a look at some other pressing concerns. The School of Music wants some money. Wants to establish an orchestra. There's some other thing we need to take a look at. We need to do it soon, but I think we have to.
Thank you, Mr. Coronado. And Ms. Aguirre, did you kind of take Ms. Carrasco, did you kind of take a little note there of some of the things Mr. Coronado mentioned for reference? Thank you very much.
As we thank you for your work, this is the last time we'll see them, and thank you. Appreciate your great work.
Thank you, ladies, very much for beginning us on the path to going upward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And thank you, Mrs. Carrasco. We appreciate it. Tony, that takes us to C.
Item 4C, KNUTO Bond Accountability Committee update. Mr. Medina.
Good evening, Mr. Medina.
Good evening. Board President Searles, board members, Dr. Murphy. My name is Adrian Medina, and I am the vice chair of the Community Bond Accountability Committee for the 2011 Bond Program. As some of you may or may not know, this is the second Bond Accountability Committee I have served on as a member of the committee. This current committee consists of 27 dedicated and passionate members that have given their free time to help provide oversight of the voter-approved bond projects passed through 2011. We have met several times and assembled in three key subcommittees, finance, projects, and construction. After some fact-finding, the Community Bond Accountability Committee, which is going to shorten CBAC, has the following recommendation to the KNUTO ISD Board of Trustees and Administration. The CBAC has expressed concerns on the advancement of bond projects without the benefit of a full-time project manager to provide oversight on the projects to prevent waste and ensure that the projects are adequately coordinated and controlled. We are aware of the extra burdens placed on administration with the departure of Mr. Armendariz and are also aware that you are pursuing his replacement and are seeking proposals from organizations that would supply project management. However, we feel that to continue pursuing non-essential bond projects without these two pieces being in place is not desirable. Additionally, we have done some research and determined that other districts, when confronted with significant bond proceeds and numerous projects, have opted to secure additional staff to administer only these projects as a more desirable and cost-effective solution than securing a contracted organization that would split its loyalty with numerous clients. El Paso, Socorro, and Isleta ISDs have all put on staff members to cover these needs, under the understanding that when the projects are completed, the position may cease. Typically, these persons report to the director of facilities, who then reports on progress to the administration. The advantage we see is the continuity and accountability that is obtained by a direct staff position as opposed to an organization operating under general guidance from an RFP. Issues related to shareholder acceptance and project closing are more aptly dealt with than with when a staff member is involved. We think your current RFP for this position may serve to act as a comparison on the cost an independent party would charge, and you can then compare that to a full-time staff position, knowing that the position is subject to cessation upon bond project completion. The activity of the project manager, including site visits, inspections, architect coordination, Change orders, employee interfacing, and accounting compliance are all more fluid when performed by a staff member, not to mention less costly in the opinion of architectural firms we have canvassed. Bottom line, with over $40 million, over 200 projects, and a brand new school, we would propose that the district pause bond projects until we hire the right people to properly account for taxpayer funds entrusted to this board and administration. We appreciate your consideration of this recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Medina. We appreciate all that y'all are doing. I cannot compliment you enough. The updates, we've gotten your letters, we've gotten everything. I mean, all of your members, I see some of you out here in the audience. Thank you. I mean, you've given selflessly to help make this organized as well as efficient, and I really appreciate it, and I believe the rest of the board does as well. There's nothing on this agenda to take any action, but we hear exactly what you're saying, and I think you'll see that we're moving forward in a path that mirrors the recommendations. So I thank you, and please keep coming to us. You know, this is why we ask you all to be on this very important committee, was for the communication, and you know as well as I guess everyone here knows, and we are missing a key player.
Several key players, unfortunately.
Yeah, and that's very hard, and it's thrown an incredible monkey wrench into everything. But that doesn't mean that it's not going to be made right and worked out absolutely appropriately. So please feel confident that we're meeting, we care. I mean, we meet like 3 times a week. We care a whole lot. So thank you, and keep coming to us with recommendations. I get many phone calls from different members of your committee, and I sure appreciate all of them. So thank you. Any other comments from the board members? Thank you, Mr. Medina, and please give our best to your committee and all of our thanks.
We will.
Tony?
Item 5 is executive session, and the time is now 8:14 p.m. The meeting is to be closed under Texas Government Code, sections 551074, 551071, and 551072, to hear a recommendation from principal of Jose Damian Elementary School and executive director of facilities, maintenance, and transportation, and to hear a report regarding real estate matters.
Thank you, Tony. Is 10:25. It's bedtime. It's 10:25, and the board is back into open session. On item number 6.
6A.
Yes, ma'am.
Consider approval of the recommendation of Principal Jose Damian Elementary School, Dr. Murphy.
Board President Searles, board members, audience members, per our discussion in closed session and through the interview process, KNCOIST administration recommends for the new principal at Jose Damian Elementary, Ms. Sandra Valdez.
No.
I so move, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Coronado. Do I have a second?
A second.
And we have a motion and second. Is there any discussion, please? If not, Tony, would you please pull the board?
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mrs. Rojas?
Yes. And Tony, that takes us to B.
Item B, consider approval of recommendation of executive director of facilities, maintenance, and transportation.
President Searles, board members, audience members, for our discussion in closed session and through the interview process, our recommendation for executive director of facilities, maintenance, and transportation is Ms. Jennifer Matthews.
Madam Chair, make a
Motion to approve Ms. Jennifer Matthews for the Executive Director of Facilities of Maintenance and Transportation.
I'll second that.
Motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion?
Good Chair.
Yes,
I think
sir.
The actual name of the division is Facilities and Transportation.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Murphy.
Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Coronado?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. And that would take us to number 7.
Item 7A is consider award of RFP 1211, Computers and Technology Hardware. Mr. Gatlin, Ms. Brigham.
Board President Sorrells, board members, Dr. Murphy, members of the audience. I placed before you tonight this goldenrod packet you should have in front of you. I want to first apologize for not getting this to you in a timely manner. Most of the time I do get you your stuff in a timely manner, but this was kind of a special project that we put together to get together quickly so we could for state comp, so we could actually use some of this year's funds and some of the upcoming funds starting on July 1st. That's when we did it at the tail end of this year. So that's why we did the action on this at the time we did it. So I do apologize for bringing it to you without being in the Friday packet.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I see there's laptops here. These are not the laptops for the Northeast.
No, ma'am.
No.
Okay, has nothing to do with it. Okay, thank you.
But we could use this bid, you know.
I understand. Okay, but they're not.
This is for the whole district, Ms. Searles.
I move to approve RFP 1211 for computer and technology hardware as presented.
I'll second the motion.
Motion made and seconded. Any discussion?
I apologize. Who made the second?
Ms. Mendoza.
Thank you. Mrs. Cáceres?
Yes.
Mr. Carmona?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank y'all very much. Tony, that would take us to the consent agenda, and we've already taken off F and G.
Yes, administration
recommends.
F and G. The old F and G's off still.
Administration recommends approval of the consent agenda as presented, with the exception of F and G, which
is voted
upon.
So moved. I'll second.
Motion made and seconded.
Rachel.
To approve the consent agenda without F and G. Any discussion? No? Tony, please.
Mrs. Cousins?
Yes.
Mr. Carlisle?
Yes.
Mrs. Gonzalez?
Yes.
Mrs. Mendoza?
Yes.
Mrs. Quintana?
Yes.
Mrs. Searles?
Yes. Guess what?
Bob Lori, happy?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Say it loud.
Yes, sir.
We wanted to hear that from you, Pablo. And Pablo, I have something to ask you, too, as long this meeting is adjourned.
No, Mr. Bambi. Yes. Maria.
Miss Searles.
I'm going to go off to the soup side.
Thank you.
Good night. Thank you.
Thank you, Pablo.
Thank you, Gustavo.
Take care. Thank you for giving me a box.
Go back to your roots.
I need to get this 2x1.